Well, I just finished up the radio show and wanted to share with you what we have in store for the podcast today. Are you searching for a new financial advisor? I'm going to be giving you 8 tips that you should consider today to make your pick a successful one. Also, as an added bonus, we will be going back and taking a look at Ken Fisher's investment commercial and talk about what it really means. If I could be of help to you or give you a second opinion on your investments, send me an email at info@prudentmoney.com. Keep the faith.
Choir, heard daily on Bible School Radio 91.3, KDKR, Decatur, Dallas-Fort Worth, and on 91.3 KYJC, Commerce.
Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
So how do you vet your financial advisor? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. If you have a question for me, I want to guide you to the website at prudentmoney.com. Once you get to the website, there's a couple of resources that you can use to get your question answered. The first one is the Ask Bob or the email. And that works great if you just have an easy, simple question. But sometimes there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of scenarios, a little bit more than an email would do. So you can always go to my calendar, and reserve a spot, and we'll get back with you and take a phone call and do a little bit of a conference and get your question answered. So that's all available to you at the website. www.prudentmoney.com. So how do you go about vetting a financial advisor? Now, there's a little bit of bias in what I'm about to say, but I do think that it is very true that getting a financial advisor, hiring a financial advisor to help guide you on your journey with money is maybe one of the more important decisions that you make. Once again, hey, bias alert, I am one, so I do have that opinion about it. But I do think it's important. What's even more important, though, is hiring the right financial advisor. Very critical. And you don't, because the biggest problem that you run if you end up making some of the mistakes that we're going to talk about today, don't go through and take the time to really be prepared to go through the process. If you make those mistakes, you make the biggest mistake of all, and that is losing time. I always say it this way, expend the time on the front end of the process so that you won't have to use use time on the back end of the process. Because once you get started, you're probably not going to know if this financial advisor is right for you until you get way down the path. And then once you get there, it's too late. You've wasted a ton of time and you have to start over and make up for lost time somehow. The good thing about going through your process and doing it the right way, it's not going to guarantee that this is going to happen, that you're going to pick the right person. Not guarantee at all, but it will do this. If you go through the process the correct way, you can probably figure out if you've made a mistake a lot quicker, and you can reverse that decision and not lose as much time. So there are a lot of advantages to doing that. The other couple of things that you want to keep in mind is you want to treat the vetting process or the process of finding one, you want to treat it like an interview process. It should be set up to where you get a referral, preferably. And that's always one of the things that I always advocate is that if you've got a friend, someone that you've trusted for a long time, and they have a financial advisor or any other type of person that they work with, they are going to be happy to give you their name and talk about what a great financial advisor that person is, what a great CPA that person is, or whatever the referral, they're going to be absolutely thrilled to give you that name. So always ask your friends, your close friends, family, you know, maybe family. You'd probably know if your family were using one, and find out a little bit about that person and give them a call. Much better than going, or let me say it this way, you're less likely to make a mistake by knowing somebody or knowing something about somebody versus a complete cold call. So definitely go that route. The next thing that you want to make sure that you don't do is deciding based on hope. And what I mean by that is you've, and I think this is kind of human nature. It's the process itself. I don't think people get too excited about going through the process. First of all, it takes a lot of time. If you do it right, it can take a lot of time. And the biggest problem of all is that beyond that it could take a lot of time, is that you're in a situation where you might make a mistake. You might make pick that wrong person as your financial advisor, and then you go for years and years and years and figure out that, man, I got to make a change. I got to reverse this mistake that I made. And so it gets to that point in the process where you have to make a choice, but you don't really want to make it a choice. Or kind of the opposite, you go to the first meeting, you convince yourself you like the individual, and this is what I mean by deciding based on hope. You decide that you're going to go through with hiring this person just based on having spent 30 minutes with the person, the individual, and you're going to decide based on hope. You're going to hope that everything works out. And that could be one of the bigger mistakes that you made. Now, it may be that you hit it off so well with that individual, you feel God's peace surrounding you and selecting that individual, and it might be the real thing, and it just might work out for you that way. That can happen. It's just you got to know that it's one of those things where it's a low probability outcome that you're looking at. So make sure you gear yourself up, and it might be one of these situations where, you know, with a husband and wife, maybe you don't go together. Maybe the husband goes, maybe the wife goes and meets two or three people, four people, and then comes back to the husband and says, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And then the husband and the hot wife go in for a second interview and talk some more to the financial advisor and choose based on that. So it is a process, but you can kind of separate and one spouse do all the heavy lifting, and then get together and figure out what makes the most sense. So here's eight tips to consider when it comes to selecting a financial advisor. The first one I've kind of already gone through, but I'll mention it again. It's interview, start with referrals. It's the best way to find somebody and pick a financial advisor by talking to a trusted resource that has already had good luck and success with this one financial advisor. So interviews start with referrals. Second, very important, but make a list of what's important to you. Make a list of your values. Do you value consistency? I'm just kind of going through these are the things that are important to me. Consistency. Someone who is consistent with the way that they handle advice, the way they handle appointments, the way they make recommendations. I mean, you kind of know what to expect. Consistency is very important. Number two, and I value this probably more than anything. Service. Do they give good service? Does their office staff get good service? Do they make you feel part of something bigger? You know, once you sit down and start working with a financial advisor and you go through years of working with a financial advisor, that financial advisor becomes almost, or can become almost like family. Do you see that happening with this individual? Availability. This is an important one. Does it take forever to get in to see the individual? Does the individual basically make themselves available at all times during the day? I mean, what is the availability? And then one another really important value is communication. What's the ability to communicate? There we go. Having a little tough time communicating today. To communicate with the advisor. You know, I find it to be a real problem because we all have ways that we like to communicate and we like to be communicated to. And a good advisor recognizes that up front. A good advisor can tell how to make things make better sense, to increase the client's understanding. If a person is, you know, for instance, this is most people, or the majority of people, communicate better with pictures and drawings and visuals and that kind of thing. And the advisor realizes that and communicates based on that with them. Communication can be horrible. Probably one of the worst communication aspects of a advisor relationship and the client is the communication on risk. A lot of times it's a two-sentence process. So tell me a little bit about your risk level. On a scale from 1 to 10, where do you think you fall? 10 being the most risky, a 1, you don't want to take any risk at all. And then you say, well, probably a 4. You go, 4, okay, that sounds, that's about what I would have put you at as a 4. Now, here, and it stops, and then the advisor moves on. The problem with that is, what a 4 is to me may not be a 4 to you. So, you know, so clarification of what a 4 is, what that means, what you feel is appropriate, what kind of risk are you willing to take? I mean, that question starts out a whole conversation and communication on risk that you have to go through to really get a good understanding of what risk means to that client. So something else that is very important. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Listen, we're up against a break. Stick around. I'll be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
Too often we try to live out our faith all by ourselves, without help from anyone. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, Tuesday on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares says Christians should not live in isolation, but instead work together to share the gospel as Team Jesus. That's coming up Tuesday on Focal Point.
Focal Point, weekday mornings at 8:30, here on Bible School Radio, KDKR.
Dr. Charles Stanley. One word describes what happened at Calvary. Substitute. God substituted His Son in your place to die at Calvary to pay your sin debt in full. It's all wrapped up in the cross.
The teaching of Dr. Charles Stanley on In Touch, helping you grow in Christ every day.
In Touch, weekdays at 12:30, here on KDKR.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do appreciate it. You know I do. And if I can help you out in any way, answer a question, Give you a second opinion. You can always go to the website, www.prudentmoney.com, and go through one of two resources. First is email. That's where you got a simple question. The second one is through a phone call. Just reserve some time on my calendar. It's right there on the website, and we'll get you taken care of. And sometimes it just it's a little bit more complex than what an email can do, so we'll get you taken care of that way as well. That's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. I was talking about the 8 tips to consider when talking to a financial advisor, when vetting a financial advisor to determine, is this who you want to go with? Is this the one that's going to help you just make financial decisions? And think about that for a second. I was talking about the importance of taking your time and treating it like an interview process. If you really do think about it and think about how important that person could be to your family's life, wouldn't you want to take some more time than just a brief brief dialogue and then automatically decide that's the person? So make sure by spending the time asking the right questions and being prepared. Okay, so the number one tip was interview start with referrals. Number two, make a list of your values. If we're in a financial advisor relationship, if those values cannot connect, it's going to be really tough going forward. Number three, the heart of a consultant. Now, when you go into a meeting with a financial advisor, you're going to get probably one or two different things. Scenario is going to play out. The first scenario to play out would be you're going to get a full-blown salesperson, and the conversation will pretty much go like this. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and the client will talk a little bit about themselves, and then immediately the advisor, just like really any other salesperson, and I'm not knocking salespeople. You'll see where I'm going here in just a second. The financial advisor starts talking about this great annuity product or investment product or whatever it is, and now is forcing the sale of that product. It's all about the product, and there's no connection to how the product is really going to change the life of the client or make a difference in the life of the client. It's all about the sale of the product. And there are great salespeople who don't handle the situation like that. There's phenomenal salespeople, and really sales is really nothing more than communication. But respect the person's time, respects the person's values, and wants to get down to the most important thing that type of appointment can be, which is a time for the advisor to ask questions. Because at the end of the day, not only does the client select the advisor's got to be able to make the call, can I fulfill this role that they are wanting? So I always say the heart of a consultant, because that means that person wants to know, wants to ask questions, is so very interested in what's going on in your life, how they can make a difference, how they can contribute, and not so much about selling a product. In fact, to me, that should be the entire first couple of meetings, if it has to be, to get to the point to where the advisor really does know that person is that they can be a solid relationship as an advisor to that person. Now, the fourth one, you got to have confidence that they're going to be able to get you from point A to point B. And that's really the main part of what an advisor is going to do, is make sure that point A, where you are today, point B, probably going to be a situation where you're looking at retirement. And we always talk about that planning process and how important that process is to get you from point A to point B. The number five, and I thought it was funny, Chris, during the break, played a clip that I did about Proverbs 22:3, 27:12, so perfect setup for number five. Is this advisor a risk manager? It's very simple, and one of the reasons I talk about risk so much is because if you can manage for risk, the growth will come. And if you can manage for risk and avoid the big bear markets, avoid the big drawdowns, another way to say it, big losses, the growth will come. And so to me, and there's plenty of advisors who don't agree with this, but to me, it's also about growing the money, it's also about protecting from risk. And those are two very, very important things. And I think protecting from risk is a stewardship principle. I think God calls us to be good risk managers. And I always talk about the verse in Proverbs this exact verse you'll see it two times in Proverbs, Proverbs 22:3, Proverbs 27:12, and that verse is the same verse word for word. I talk about this a lot in my workshops because I believe there's some significance to having a verse be repeated word for word two times, same book, five chapters apart. It's as if God is trying to get our attention. And I call these the verses of risk. It goes something like this. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You know, the prudent person, the wise person, foresees, does not predict, not forecast, they can't see the future, but they look at the future and they can see that there's the possibility of danger, enough so that they take precautions. So very important. The simpleton, or the person who's not paying attention, the person who's not taking the time to really pray about money, pray about their relationship with money, because there is one, and making the decisions that need to be made, and they just suffer the consequences. They go blindly on. I always thought that was such a powerful verse and really speaks to the verses of risk. Number six, the advisor takes what concerns you seriously. There are a lot of opinions today about money, about where this country's headed, which affects money, all kinds of opinions, debates, and in some ways a very highly debatable, emotional conversations surrounding that. It's very important that as you come in to talk about serious matters, that you don't feel like you're being judged. You should feel comfortable being able to come in and talk to an advisor and say, hey, I racked up a lot of debt. Well, tell me about it. Let's talk about how we can get you out of it. You got to think about, and I've told this many times, that from my standpoint, I've heard just about everything. So nothing's going to surprise me. And it's not up to me to judge where they are. Just for me, my job is to help them get from where they are right now to where they want to be. You know, what's happened's happened, the past is the past. It's about what you do going forward. And that's the way that you want the financial advisor to approach these sensitive, very confidential situations. And you want to know that you're not getting judged. You want to know that that's the furthest thing from what's happening in that room, in that office. So you got to be careful, because a lot of times trust the feeling of non-judgment is not there, and so the client doesn't feel comfortable in sharing everything. And that's the worst thing that you can do, is not share everything, because the advisor needs to see everything. It's just like if you go to a doctor, you don't want to hold back that you've had some symptoms, and you want to tell that doctor everything so they can make their best effort at diagnosing and fixing the situation. And the same thing is true when it comes to a financial advisor. Very true. Number seven, shares the same beliefs, the same core beliefs, same Christian beliefs. Very, very, very important. I think that speaks for itself. I think that's very extremely important because a Christian advisor is going to have a deeper understanding based on faith and Christian beliefs and values than someone who, boy, that's just not that important. And then number eight is the real, another big one, but I don't think I'm going to have time to get to today. And we'll pick up tomorrow where that came from and then share some other things for it. One of the things I want to get to this week and talk about is about gold. Gold's place in a portfolio and when it makes sense and when it doesn't make sense. And talk a little bit about some of the myths of gold as well. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. So make sure you listen in. This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.